This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Associate producer Greg Tomlin sitting alongside Dave Bowes, filling in for Michael Medved today. He will be back tomorrow, so don't fret. Have you heard of Sam Bankman-Fried, or SBF, soon to be become a household name? Hey, Dave, how is your cryptocurrency retirement fund doing?
Awesome.
Is it really? Yeah. You're the one.
I'm just loaded now.
So this guy misplacing $8 billion in assets, didn't he?
Yeah, I told him I'd hold on to it for him. He told me he was a prince from Nigeria. And so I said, yeah, we can make a deal. The guy's name sounds like Better Call Saul.
Uh-huh.
You know, Sam Bankman-Fried. Come on. I need some money, and I've got an investment arm. Nothing can go wrong. What are you guys doing? Well, we're making our own currency. And we're mining it like gold. What does mining mean?
Well, no clue.
We have these robots that go out, and they look for empty space on the interweb thing. Oh.
And I was trying to
have my money.
Compare him to other individuals that we know solely by their initials. There's MBS in Saudi Arabia, who's the crown prince. Serial killers are known by three names, or is it lone gunmen? It's like Lee Harvey Oswald, that's three names.
Well, BTK was the BTK killers, bind, torture, kill.
Who was the guy who shot Reagan? He had three names, I think, too.
That was John Hinckley, Jr.
Oh, so no, he only had two names because Reagan didn't die. The guy who assassinated John Lennon has three names.
I can't remember that guy.
You can't remember that. Anyways, so this FTX guy, Sam Bankman-Fried, was arrested in the Bahamas, going to probably be extradited to the U.S., was supposed to testify on Capitol Hill today, and I was looking forward to hearing more sound bites from this guy because about a month ago he was on a media blitz talking about just what happened with his cryptocurrency exchange, and he was basically pleading ignorant, negligent. Oh, whoops, what happened to all this money? I don't know. I guess I just wasn't on top of it as I should have been. So they had hearings today. Nonetheless, he wasn't there, obviously, because he's in custody. But the new FTX Group CEO, John Ray, testified. He specializes in recovering funds from failed corporations. And this is clip 11, Jeremy. Let's start there. He said he doesn't believe previous internal audits at FTX are trustworthy.
You testified of the lack of record keeping. Yes. And so there's a whole lot of financial statements that are either not audited or not available. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say.
In your declaration, you stated that you did not believe that those audited financial statements were reliable. Can you elaborate on why you believe that to be the case?
Well, we've lost $8 billion, right, of customer money. So by definition, I don't trust a single piece of paper in this organization.
Yeah, you know,
eight with a B.
I like this guy. Well, first of all, it's a little strange. You look at Mr. Sam Bankman-Fried, and he doesn't exactly look like the usual CEO. I'm not saying you have to, but he looks like a slacker. He basically looks like kind of a Seth Rogen-esque kind of, you know, an early era Seth Rogen-esque, not new Seth Rogen-esque. But he's just kind of looking around like, hey, dudes, what's going on? And you know, it's one thing for the money to be missing. It's another thing for money first to go to an investment arm, from the sound of things. Like, you're collecting it on one side, and then you're putting it to the other side to make up for lack of funds there. The whole thing sounds like, sounds like the Madoff Ponzi scheme to me.
The new FTX Group CEO, John Ray, continued in his testimony this morning and said this. This is clip number 12, Jeremy.
Mr. Ray, you have compared FTX as worse than Enron. Can you please elaborate on some of the specific ways FTX is worse than one of the largest corporate frauds in history?
The FTX group is unusual in the sense that, you know, I've done probably a dozen large, you know, scale bankruptcies over my career, including Enron, of course. Every one of those entities had some financial problem or another. They have some characteristics that are in common. This one is unusual, and it's unusual in the sense that literally, you know, there's no record keeping whatsoever. It's the absence of record keeping. Employees would communicate, you know, invoicing and expenses on Slack, which is, you know, essentially a way of communicating for chat rooms. They use QuickBooks, a multi-billion dollar company using QuickBooks.
QuickBooks.
Nothing against QuickBooks, very nice tool, just not for a multi-billion dollar company.
It's amazing. I got a hedge on, though. I mean, if you're going to bankrupt a company and have money shipped off somewhere, uh-huh. you know, and you have $8 billion go missing, the lack of paper trail is probably going to go in your favor.
It's incredible how many high-profile celebrities were seduced by this cryptocurrency exchange as well. I don't know if it's just tale as old as time. It's like a get-rich-quick scheme, or I got to be involved in the latest and greatest, but there were Tom Brady and Giselle commercials touting FTX. There was like a 1 or 2 minute long Super Bowl commercial this year in 2022 that featured Larry David going throughout history and turning down great ideas. And then, oh, the latest great idea is FTX, and it's going to heal the world. And it's formed with an altruistic sense of doing well for everyone, and everybody's going to get rich, and we're going to solve all the world's problems with this cryptocurrency. And just to see it come crashing down like this, we should have been listening to Warren Buffett and his vice chair, who said that cryptocurrency, this was years ago, said it was like trading turds and people couldn't wait to get involved.
Well, I mean, I have mixed feelings about this because I don't know enough about it. I don't understand it. But at the same time, I look at us and I saw a story today. We're $32 trillion in debt. So I look at, you know, a piece of paper that we that I have in my pocket, and I wonder, what is the value of this greenback here? How much money can we print and then pretend that we're any different? But in this case, you know, as you point out, I don't think it's so much seduction. It's the, at a certain point, there was value because people were willing to pay for it. So you give Brady and Larry David and other guys a bunch of money, and even in a lot of this was stock or a cryptocurrency.
Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank made $15 million to endorse FTX.
Yeah, that's trade. They're trading on it, and they can cash out. So, you know, if somebody had asked, you know, Greg, hey, you want to do a commercial for FTX? We'll give you, you know, this amount of cryptocurrency, which is trading at, you know, $10,000. It'd be, you know, you'd be like, okay, I'm interested. Tell me more. You know, I mean, I know I would be, but. And if I was Tom Brady and they're offering me, you know, whatever, how many, I don't know how many millions of dollars he's worth, but you can bet on a Super Bowl commercial, it's more than $1 million. And remember, at the time, he and Giselle, even though they were pretending to get along, they were probably getting ready for a divorce. So Brady's thinking, I need some extra cash to put this away. And so, you know, it's still
I blame FTX for their downfall. How about that?
Good point. This guy, this Sam Bankman, this should be one of the criminal charges filed.
So FBF, like I said, was supposed to be on Capitol Hill today testifying before Congress about the collapse of his company and its bankruptcy, but not there, in custody instead. However, Congress members did get a copy of what his opening statement was going to be. And this is clip 13, Jeremy. Listen to Representative Emanuel Cleaver of Missouri's 5th District, who began to cite verbatim what Bankman-Fried was going to say before he gets cut off here.
Have you read the full testimony that was planned by our missing guest?
I have not read his full testimony. I've some pieces of it have been relayed to me, but I have not read it. I've not read one word of it, actually.
Yeah, I don't know him personally and probably don't want to, but his testimony is so disrespectful. I mean, there's not a person up here who would like to show this to their children in line two of this message. He says, and I quote, I would like to start out by formally stating under oath.
You can't say it.
And I can't even say it publicly. The next two words, absolutely insulting. This comes from the United States. And I'd like to submit this, Madam Chair, for the record.
Without objection, if you're inserting that into the record. Without objection, such as it was.
So what did he say? Well, we have a copy of the statement. We will read it coming back from the break. Associate producer Greg Tomlin and Dave Bowes in for Michael Medved today. Thanks for hanging around. We'll be right back on the other side of this break.
Michael Medved here for Washington Policy Center. Over a million kids were subjected to learning loss and emotional harms caused by prolonged school shutdowns in our state. Now, those kids are being passed through the system without the harms being addressed. What if parents could direct funding so that their children receive the extra tools or tutoring they need? What if parents could choose the school that best fit their child rather than a one-size-fits-all system? Fund students, not systems. Go to fundstudentsfirst.com. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special Medved history programs, which can be yours free. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want and commercial free. A Medved Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not conditioned to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Waiting for the drums to drop, and there it is. Associate producer Greg Hellman, Dave Bowes in for Michael Medved today. FTX founder and CEO Sam Bankman-Fried taken into custody Monday evening following receipt of formal notification from the United States it had filed criminal charges against the fallen crypto billionaire. He, of course, was arrested in the Bahamas. The U.S. government's extradition treaty with the nation lets the U.S. extradite defendants for charges involving offenses that are crimes in both countries. He was supposed to be on Capitol Hill today testifying before Congress. Could have gotten really interesting, Dave, because it's been made public that Sam Bankman-Fried, or SBF, as he's now come to be known, gave tens of millions of dollars to Democrats over the years. And apparently he says, oh, I also gave money to Republicans as well, but it was dark money. You couldn't see it. I hid it because it would have been so unpopular to make known that I had given money to the GOP. So I hid that money, but I made public my donations to Democrats. We could have seen some interesting exchanges between representatives and Bankman-Fried today. But alas, we're not going to see
that. Does he have any written records of this? No, he doesn't, because there's no written records of anything except for big contributions to Democrats. And look, the Democrats are in power. That's why he was shelling money out to the Democrats. He was probably looking and saying on whatever the SNAP, what was the thing he was using for it?
QuickBooks?
No, not QuickBooks. It was the other one, the little, it was like Snapchat, but it was something else where they're communicating how much money they've got, what their bills are, and invoicing. He's seeing the deck of cards come falling down, and he's doing what others have done in his position, which is you pay off, you make yourself likable to a lot of powerful political people who are, right now are going to say, you know what, I never want to see you. Who is this guy? He's awful. He's horrible. You know, but if he's greased the wheels beforehand long enough where they got to keep it and use it, then maybe he can use that to his advantage. This is a lot of money that a lot of people lost. It'll be interesting to see. We were just talking during the commercial break that it doesn't seem like we're prosecuting shoplifters or anybody else anymore. Well, are we going to prosecute a guy who's managed to, quote-unquote, lose? I don't even like using the term lose, because the way I read it, it looks like money was shifted from one company to another in order to hide losses. That looks to be one of the allegations to me anyway. So, you know, you're dealing with so much money, you wonder, what's the punishment for that going to look like?
And so I think he's 30 years old, I read, which is 10 years younger than me. Does that make him...
He looks like 24.
Does that make him a Gen Zer or an iGen or something like that?
I have no idea.
Okay, but the point is, he's a young man. And maybe I'm reading into this too much, but I feel like with some of the statements he made to the media a month ago, perhaps he's just trying to cover his butt and say, oh my goodness, I didn't know any of this was going on. I tend to, unless other information comes to light that I'm not privy to at this juncture, I kind of believe some of his stupidity and ignorance on this stuff, because there seems to be a zeitgeist of that generation that the rules simply don't apply to me, traditions and norms. Like, hey, QuickBooks is this company that I see their commercial. We'll have them run our books. We'll do that. Excuse me, you can't do that. But there's sort of a brazen confidence or bravado of the old generation didn't know what we were doing, and we're the new, hipper, younger things that do things our own way, and lo and behold, it all collapses in front of everybody's eyes.
Yeah, and it won't matter, because as a CEO, he's going to be responsible whether he knows it or not.
Exactly.
And if you can't handle it, if you don't know it, what you should do is step aside and have somebody else do it. But, you know, as you point out, there's I don't believe him. I think that this looks to me like there's... The people know what they're doing.
Right.
He's off the Bahamas. He's doing the money donations that look more educated and other
okay.
things that he's doing. So I don't believe that he's
more sinister individual than I'm.
Well, he's like, you know what? I've got a ton of money. Now I've lost it. Uh-oh. You know, I need a comeback plan, because I don't want to be broke the rest of my life here. And, you know, I don't know what the comeback plan is for a guy that's lost this kind of money. But I know it's possible, because other charlatans have done some amazing comeback work and have managed to get people to give them all kinds of money. So maybe we'll see this guy in 10 years again with a new company.
And we teased this before the break. I don't know if you still have it pulled up there, Jeremy, but it's clip 6. The statement was released that he was going to deliver before Congress today, And as one Congress member began to read it, he was cut off because there was going to be a curse word in it. And you can't say that in the halls of Congress in a nationally televised event. But Fox and Friends also got a hold of the statement, and they read part of it this morning, clip six.
Reuters apparently got a draft copy of what he was going to say today, this morning, on Capitol Hill. Of course, he's not going to be addressing them. But apparently, this is the exact first line. I would like to start by formally stating under oath, I effed up.
Really?
And then he was going to blame his lawyers and the new CEO, which Todd just quoted.
Well, there you go. Full mea culpa with an expletive.
And the new guy. You know, and that's another thing, too, is you've got somebody who there is a generational gap there where, you know, look, I do not blush away from profanity. I try to avoid mixed crowds and other things, and there's a time and a place. But when you've got a young person who thinks that when you're testifying to Congress, you should start with the F-bomb, you know, oh, I bleeped up, you know, oh, did you? Is that how you're doing it now? I can just picture his courtroom proceedings, unless the lawyers are able to get it through his head that what you think is appropriate, if you're wondering, you need to ask. They need the Mary Poppins or whatever of etiquette, of court etiquette, to come and educate this guy. Because if he starts in the court, starts doing this kind of thing, he's going to end up with more jail time, an angry judge, and big problems, bigger problems.
It's hard for the government to keep up with the sheer amount of innovation and ingenuity that is going on the interwebs in the year 2022. And it seems like so much of this is delayed in catching up to what is going on, whether it be oversight or regulations. You agree with that?
I feel like even new
things... It's like Wild Wild West out there. You've heard that term a lot, and
sure,
I kind of agree with it.
But I think it's always been that way, because there's always new things that come along. Takes government a while. They're a creaking, you know, a bureaucratic machine. Takes them a while to figure stuff out. I mean, remember here in Washington State when we had the auditor, there was a candidate, a Republican candidate for auditor who brought forward some information. There's an FBI investigation of the one of the individuals. I think it was the current auditor. And, you know, the reaction of the institutions, even the Seattle Times and others, was how dare you bring up this information that makes this other guy look bad. There's mudslinging and other things, and this guy holds a position of influence and authority. And then later it turns out the FBI does the arrest. The auditor, Troy Kelly, got convicted. And, you know, there was big problems there. And you sit there and go, you know, why was that reaction, the first reaction, was just kind of anger about being given information, you know. And so I look at it like there's nothing new under the sun. There's just new ways of presenting the same old thing.
Greg Tomlin and Dave Bowes in for Michael Medved. We will be right back.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA Radio News. I'm Rich Johnson. Encouraging words on the prospect of Congress passing a federal spending bill from Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell.
I think we're very close to getting an omnibus appropriation bill that would be
I think, broadly appealing. It would meet the defense number of the NDAA.
That's the National Defense Authorization Act, the bill to fund the Pentagon. The deadline for a spending bill is Friday when the federal government's current spending law expires. President Biden signing the Respect for Marriage Act in a big ceremony on the South Lawn of the White House. The new law will require the U.S. government to recognize the validity of same-sex and interracial marriages. The founder of the failed cryptocurrency firm FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, now faces 8 federal counts of fraud, conspiracy, campaign finance law violations, and money laundering. This is USA Radio News.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This morning, college football head coach Mike Leach died suddenly of a heart condition. That's the official word from Mississippi State, where he was the current head coach of that football team. Age 61, and this story struck me because I always considered Mike Leach, apart from the local ties to WSU here, we're in Washington State, I thought he was a breath of fresh air in college football, sort of an industry that oftentimes took itself too seriously. And he would often tell things like they were, wouldn't mince words. He would often joke with the media, regale us with various stories. And his wit and wisdom was just always something that kind of brought a smile to people's faces. And he was a bit of an anomaly because he played rugby in college. He didn't even play college football. I think he was one of just a handful of coaches in all of FBS that didn't play himself. And so sad story to see him go so suddenly. Do you have any thoughts on Mike Leach, Dave?
61. It's just, maybe it's the older I get, the younger that seems
right
to me. But, you know, he's not. He wasn't an old guy. He wasn't particularly out of shape, you know, for the work that he does or anything. And he always seems so vivacious, like you say. He's just ready to go, ready to say something. I saw a good post from a friend of mine, Maya Espinoza, he had donated a signed ball to the Holy Family's school. It's a Catholic school south of Seattle. And you know, and then he threw in some sideline passes to the game just for fun afterward for whomever got the ball. But, you know, a really genuine, likable person, somebody who had a great time, loved the game. I did not know that about him not playing football, so I'm just kind of floored by that because it's one of those things.
It gives me hope. I might still be able to coach football at a high level someday.
Yeah, when this radio thing, when I get done with that, right. I'm going to coach in the NFL. That surprises me, and it's a special kind of person who, I mean, rugby is kind of like football in many ways. There's an appreciation of athleticism and contact and violence, you know, controlled violence. Which is, you know, part of the awesomeness of football. But, you know, I always rooted for Washington State Cougars. I think it's a lot of fun, and he was a likable coach.
Yeah, and he had success as a head coach. He was the head of Texas Tech from 2000 to 2009.
Success where it's not easy, by the way. You know, it's not like he inherited some, you know, Nebraska program. This is, you know, it's tough. It's tough out there.
In his career, he had 158 wins, 107 losses. His team this year at Mississippi State was 8-4. They're going to be appearing in a bowl game. Wouldn't be surprised to see tributes paid to the late, great Mike Leach, maybe his name on a helmet or something like that during the bowl game. Here's a collage put together that I really enjoyed of some of his most famous sound bites over the years. I think a reporter in Spokane put this together. Let's listen to it now.
Yeah, I did have a pet raccoon. I would like to have a pet raccoon again. It's tough if you travel. There's a time when they, you know, they hit kind of raccoon teenage years, and it's time for them to head off and into the sunset. Yeah, you know, right now we have the atmosphere of a JC softball game. Would I spend a week in jail to get rid of my student loans? I would have spent 3 months in jail. There's not a lot of reality involved in reality shows, and I would have done it happily.
It's a good win. There's a lot of people that like Woodstock, except everybody's got their clothes on.
I actually think a zombie apocalypse, I would die of boredom before anything else. My neighbors would start shooting zombies. Okay, here's another one. Okay, there's another one. All right, another one.
And I respectfully declined the answer on the grounds that I might get fined.
This is a really ugly zombie. Wow, pretty attractive for a zombie. I think most people that say that Christmas isn't their favorite holiday are lying.
I think candy corn's awful. You know, I mean, I completely hate candy corn. It's like fruitcake. You know, there's a reason they only serve fruitcake once a year, because it's awful.
So there's still candy innovation, although a while back I found that Europe had better candy than we did overall, because they have gummy everything.
Mobility. Make sure you have mobility with your costume. Make sure you can get around. Make sure it's warm enough so that you...
You know what strikes me about those clips? That's sort of our way of honoring Mike Leach on the show here. 90% of them have nothing to do with football, the game in which he was so heavily involved. But that's kind of what made him great.
And that's what makes all the great commentators great, is when they pull in something else that's totally unexpected, throws you for a loop. And I like this zombie observation, because it's one of my pet peeves about all the major, even critically acclaimed zombie films. It's like, you know, like, consider The Walking Dead, the most famous, most, you know, groundbreaking zombie things. It's like, oh, we're shooting zombies, but we can't find any weapons or ammo, you know, to shoot these things. We're scared. We're running scared. It's like you're in Georgia. You're in Georgia, and you can't find a gun when 9/10 of the population, or even more, 99 out of 100 of the population is dead. You know, every house is loaded with weapons.
Well, and the media would throw out questions to him out of the blue.
Why not?
Just randomly. And what was special about him is he could talk about any subject and make it interesting on the spot. Wouldn't have to think about, what do you think of candy corn? And then he goes and talks about it for 2 minutes, and it's fascinating, hilarious, and you just love his insights about it.
Well, think about the sports questions. I mean, no offense to sport guys. They do a great job. You know, Brock Huard, by the way, when he used to, when I used to work around him here, he was really fascinating how he would study the games, and he knew everything about everybody. But – you know, when it comes down to a lot of sports interviews, it's, you know, so you lost by 7 touchdowns. What do you think it would have taken to win the game? Well, we needed to make more touchdowns. You know, we needed to get the ball down the field, make some additional yardage. Was the fact that the receivers kept dropping the ball, was that a problem? Yes, not catching the ball was a problem. You know what I mean? It's like, but so you throw in the candy corn question, and it's no wonder he was like, thank God, give me something.
One time he admitted that the designation of team captain meant absolutely nothing other than the player had to go out and pick heads or tails during the coin toss. And so he said, well, how am I going to pick that person? And then there was a member of his football team that had been on The Price is Right, and had done rather well, and so that's how he selected him. And it turns out the guy was like amazing at calling heads or tails. It's just, the way he told it was just hilarious. And brought a smile to your face. ESPN described Mike Leach as a Renaissance man masquerading as a football coach. Dead today at the age of 61, gone far too soon. He will be missed amidst the college football landscape going forward.
I'd be curious to know, obviously he's young enough, so his family's probably fairly young, and that's tough on all of them. But I'd be curious to know if there's been a long-time heart condition or something maybe that he'll be aware of, you know, that they'll find out that he had, that they were unaware of at some point. So, that's pretty young for the sudden drop.
Well, and I read that when he suffered what appears to be a heart attack, he was left alone for 10 or 15 minutes before anybody discovered him, made it the outcome fatal ultimately, which is a tragedy. Pivoting now to back to the issue of social media for a minute here before our break. Did you see Elon Musk appeared at a show over the weekend with Dave Chappelle in San Francisco? I think the two guys are friends from what I've read, and received a bit of a chilling reception in front of a crowd of thousands, which when I brought the story up to you, you said, well, I'm not surprised by that. Why aren't you surprised that Musk got booed on stage with Chappelle?
In California, specifically San Francisco area. He's going to Dave Chappelle, and I love Dave Chappelle. He's very funny, but he has a large liberal following, too. Liberals tend to boo more than conservatives generally do. At least that used to be the case. You know, so you're in this big, huge auditorium. You just bought Twitter, and you just canned a bunch of people, some of whom were probably in the crowd.
Yep.
You know, or they're related to people, friends with people in the crowd.
As Jeremy Snyder pointed out, they're probably all driving Teslas, too.
Yeah, and some of them, you know, they like free speech when it comes to what they're saying, but they're not as keen about having that opportunity on the other side because that's disinformation. And so he's bound to get booed. I mean, it's just like it's a given. You're not going to be disinvited to a social party for booing Elon Musk at this point, unless Elon Musk is the guy throwing the party.
We have audio from the event, which we will play on the other side of this break. It is the Michael Medved Show, Greg Tomlin and Dave Bowes filling in on a busy news day. Honored to be here, and thanks for listening. Lots more coming up. We'll be right back.
Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
It is the Michael Medved Show, Greg Tomlin and Dave Bowes sitting in. Dave, are you fascinated by the whole Twitter files story that has come out since Elon Musk bought the company for, what was it, $44 billion or something like that?
I'm fascinated why Twitter is worth $44 billion. I don't understand that. I've never understood it. It's just weird to me, especially when you don't know how many accounts are real versus bots and all this kind of thing. And I was really interested in how the powers that be decided to participate in holding back information that was negative in the election toward Joe Biden. But I'd already seen it. But remember, there was that big column that came out by some Republican operatives and Democrat operatives, and they're all bragging about how they conspired with people within the media, major media organizations, to hold back information that they thought was damaging to Biden and promote information they thought was damaging to Trump so that this election could go forward. And I thought, it was weird to me because who announces this kind of thing? I mean, why are you telling people this? But it was like they had to brag about it. They go out there and do it. So the Twitter files just seem like more documents affirming all of these things than a surprise to me. I like seeing it come out in black and white, and I like the fact that more people are seeing that. But you know, when the media and others say nobody trusts us anymore, this is going to be Exhibit A for a long time as yet another reason why people don't trust what they're seeing.
And conservative media has been all up in arms about the shadow banning that clearly took place on the platform. When conservatives tried to get their viewpoint out there, a lot of time it was squashed because Twitter was owned and run by something like 95% progressive personnel over at the company. And my whole line about this is, it's understandable they would do that. It doesn't make it right, but I'm not sure it necessarily makes it a free speech First Amendment infringement that demands some kind of government involvement because of what happened there. And then conservatives will shoot back to me and say, well, the FBI was colluding with the company to not let this story about Hunter Biden get back. I'm not so sure that is exactly what happened. I think there's some extrapolation and insinuation that goes on there with that narrative. And Elon Musk has actually publicly defended the FBI and said, I honestly think they were trying to do right. But the fact is, Twitter had an extremely democratic bent, which caused them to sort of be credulous when it came to certain narratives that they wanted to squash.
Yeah, I mean, they're selling a product that where they say, hey, you sign up on Twitter, you send it out there, we're gonna see what trends, you can be as popular as you want to be, it's all up to you. And then to find out that your stuff is being squashed and you're being censored, and that's not the bill of goods they're being sold, I'm not sure either whether it could amount to a First Amendment thing, because then, you know, the First Amendment deals with government suppression, and it's not a private
right.
company suppression. But I am interested in...
It's false advertising what Twitter was doing.
Yeah, and some of the advertising of what their product is, what people signed up for. And then also, election law is a strange thing. I mean, you know, there's how much collusion was direct with specific campaigns, and did that count as an in-kind contribution? You know, how is that not... You know, shutting down all this information that's negative, how is that not a pretty dramatic form of election contribution for the Biden campaign? I don't understand that. And, you know, it was severely negative information, too. So, you know, they justify whatever they want because Trump's supposed to be the ultimate evil. But it seems to me that people should have been able to make up their own minds and get all the information.
But on talk radio and in conservative circles, we've decried things like the fairness doctrine for decades and saying it's terrible. And so are we really saying, no, we need some type of fairness doctrine for Twitter to make sure all viewpoints are heard equally and we're going to take a free speech absolutist position here? I would argue no. On the other hand, I'm not really sure what the solution is going forward, because you had progressive gatekeepers on the platform for a decade, and now you have someone who is completely unique in his viewpoints, Elon Musk, who leans more kind of center-right, so we'll probably get a more heavy dose of that type of messaging in the coming years. So it's going to lean to the conservative side now that he owns the company, right?
You don't want a cure that's worse than the disease, right? I mean, there's no doubt about
James
that.
Madison.
You don't want, is that Madison? I don't know.
Federalist Papers.
There is this issue where you could have government step in and make a bigger problem. And that, you know, there are some conservatives I've seen call for things like that. But there are others who are pointing out, like, you know, Dennis Prager and others have made this argument about platforms. And if a platform says, you know, they're there not to moderate content, but they're there to offer you a way for you to be responsible for your own content. You know, and if they're going to do that, if they're not going to do that, if they're going to squash you if they disagree with you, that should be a front and center thing, you know, so that people understand that when they're going there, they're not seeing what's popular. They're seeing what the company says is popular. And if you put something in there that they don't like, it's going to be squashed. It's creepy. I don't know exactly what the solution is, but I do know that big tech has done themselves some major damage, I think, in terms of public trust, and I don't think that that's going to be healed anytime soon.
Let's play clip 10 here. I don't know if he was expecting cheers, but he got jeers. Elon Musk appeared at one of Dave Chappelle's comedy shows in San Francisco, which typically Chappelle's stand-up routines take place in big arenas, and this was no exception. Was he going to get a rousing applause? If somebody would have proposed, hey, let's do this, I would have advised against it and been like, this is a mixed crowd here. I don't know what you expect. Nevertheless, here's how it sounded when it went down.
Hey, I'm going to make some noise for the richest man in the world.
Can you pause it right there? That's strike one. Not a lot of people want to rise out of their chairs and give a standing ovation when someone's introduced as the richest man in the world. Typically, you harbor feelings of jealousy or resentment against someone like the richest man in the world.
I'd just roll with a boo. Musk should have been informed. I wouldn't say necessarily don't do it. I'd just say, hey, be aware there's a bunch of people that are going to boo you, you know, and that's part of the fun.
And by the way, boos, I feel like, are more contagious than claps. If I'm at a sports game and people around me are booing, I don't even care what team it's against. I love booing. It's so much fun, especially referees. All right, let's let the clip continue here. And they're stunned on stage. They don't know how to proceed.
Well, what is San Francisco like? 90-10 or 95-5 in terms of, you know, left versus right, you know, and in current tribal politics, if you're not 100% with somebody, you know, you're 100% against them. So, you know.
Sorry. She kind of makes a funny joke here. It's been on for like 5 minutes.
Do you want to?
So he tries to ease the tension a little bit and makes the joke and says, sounds like some of the people you fired are in the audience, but it didn't get better from there. It just got worse.
Funny, a media account that I read of this had Chappelle saying, you weren't expecting this, were you?
Mm-hmm.
But it's Musk that says, you weren't expecting this, were you?
Oh, interesting.
That's how it sounded to me anyway. But
someone else who doesn't like Elon Musk is Joy Reid of MSNBC. This is clip 5. And in progressive circles, they are saying the sky is falling because he now owns Twitter. Here's what she said last night on her show.
The latest example of Musk playing his role in the right's attempt to redefine free speech, which to them, simply put, is whatever conservatives want said and nothing more. They've gone to great lengths in those efforts. And when it comes to social media platforms, as The Atlantic's Adam Serwer writes, to use them for their own political purposes, including propaganda, disinformation, harassment, and message discipline, conservatives had to invent a new constitutional right, a conservative right to post.
That's sanctimonious nonsense. I mean,
a bit hyperbolic.
Look, I just watched a video yesterday of Ben Shapiro, our old friend here, from where he's being stopped at a college by numerous security agents. I think it was outside of Illinois, because Shapiro pointed out how many people have been killed in the city recently, but they've got 20 cops to stop the, 5'9" Jewish guy from going to give a speech. You know, so at colleges and universities, they're shutting down a conservative speech. Big tech companies, they want to curtail conservative speech. Most news sources, they're all pointing to Fox News as this horrible thing, and it's the one place of a right of center, you know, news service. Not the talk shows, but I'm talking the news stuff. You know, so it's just laughable when I hear people make the claim that it's the right that's trying to curtail speech.
Coming up on the Michael Medved Show, we'll welcome Andy McCarthy of National Review to talk about the curious timing of Sam Bankman-Fried's arrest in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Fred Dreyer here for a product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. Most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Do you suffer with joint discomfort? Getting out of bed in the morning feeling how stiff your body is and wondering how bad is it going to get as the years go by? Try Balance 7. It reduces the acid buildup in the body. In 3 days' time, you will feel a great improvement. Getting older doesn't have to mean it has to get worse. Use Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.